All right, this morning I'm just going to read a couple chapters of the Bible, just kind of what we read this morning for our family devotion. Anyways, just thought it was really good, solid truth. Kind of in the beginning, it says it kind of addresses the sons specifically, and I think that's maybe because the boys probably need it more than the girls do, but it's for everybody. So it's Proverbs chapter 4. It says, "Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention, that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget to turn away from, or sorry, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all of your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Turn your foot from evil." And then I'm going to read Psalms chapter 4. "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayers. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble, do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, 'Who will show us any good?' Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." And then Psalm chapter 8. "O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries. to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. With that, let's pray and welcome the worship team to come up. So Lord, we just thank you so much. How majestic is your name. You are amazing. And so just pray your blessing on the worship time, Lord. And we thank you that we can come together, that we can worship you in community and prepare our hearts, Lord, to just really honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Please stand with us and worship the Lord in song.
Holy, holy, holy. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are.
John 3, 9 through 17. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we testify, what we know and testify, and what we have seen, and we do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe me, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
I can feel you flowing through me, Holy Spirit, come and fill me up. Come and fill me up. Love and mercy fill my senses. I am thirsty for your presence, Lord. Come and fill me up.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing.
And all of God's people said, amen.
Good morning. You guys scooted over because Rick and Sharon aren't here yet this morning. So it's good to be here again this morning. Welcome. If you're visiting, I do have a lot of family here, so that's always exciting to have them up here. We have been going through the book of Acts, and we are in Acts chapter 20, and there are certain places in Acts that I read, and I'm thinking, what are we going to get out of this today? And this is kind of one of those that I was reading, and I wasn't real sure what was going to be, and I was sent a text a couple weeks ago saying that this was a good, somebody was reading ahead of where I was, and this was a good reminder of why we don't fall asleep in church today. But we'll get to that pretty soon. Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 16 is what we're going to read this morning. Why don't you stand up, if you would, while we read. Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 1. says, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas, but we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, he broke bread and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, where they're intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogolium. The next day we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Father, thank you again for your word, and I pray that as we look into it and read into it, I pray that you would open our ears to hear. In your name we pray, amen. You can sit down. So as we begin, we start with after the uproar had ceased. And remember the last time I was talking in Acts, I think it's been a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, that there were riots going on, and it's very similar, reminds me a lot of what's happening today. Riots going on where people didn't know why they were there. They were just there because they were there. And so that has settled down. And Paul is continuing to travel. He calls the Christians, the disciples there, to tell them goodbye. And he continues his traveling. Now, Paul, remember, has been traveling around on these missionary journeys of his and sharing the gospel. That's what he's doing. That's why he's traveling. That's why he's going to where he is to continue to share the gospel with people. And that's why he's doing what he's doing. That's the purpose of what he's doing. And it says in verse 2, now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed there 3 months. So everywhere that Paul went, God was using him to make a difference. He was bringing, he was teaching, he was preaching, he was sharing hope. He was sharing hope that people needed to hear. And people would come and they would listen. Now, he would always run into some kind of adversity or somebody was, we've talked a lot about the people that tried to stone him and the people that drug him out and threw him out of the city, different things, and we're going to get into more of it as we continue in Acts. But he was sharing hope with people, and people want hope. People like to hear hope. People like to have hope. But it says that he had encouraged them with many words. Do we realize today that God wants to use us to do the same thing that he's doing with Paul? He's using Paul to make a difference in people's lives. He's using Paul to share the gospel with people. And do we realize and recognize today that he is wanting to use us to do exactly that same thing? If we are willing and we are ready to be used. I'm going to read 1 Peter, which is very common, but I'm going to read it. Excuse me. Anyways, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. It says to be ready always to give an answer, to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And I couldn't help but thinking about when I was reading that, do people see that I have a hope in me? In the way that we live and in the things that we say and in the places that we go and in how we act, can people see that I have a hope that they might want to come and ask? Because it says, be ready to give a defense of the hope that is in you. But if people can't see that you have that hope, they're not going to come and ask. Are we living with people that have hope? Paul continues to travel from place to place, encouraging people as it goes. Then it said he encouraged them with many words. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times that I might think about somebody that's doing something, and I might think to myself, man, they're really doing a good job. And that's as far as it goes. Or there might be times where you see somebody even, and maybe you tell somebody else, man, they're doing a great job at what they're doing. But why is it so hard to actually tell that person? Paul is encouraging people with many words. And again, I was thinking, how often do we encourage one another? I know I think about it a lot. I have good intentions a lot of times. But do I actually take the time to go to that person and to encourage them with words? Because they can't read what we're thinking. And I don't know how you are, but there's a lot of times where I might be thinking something completely different than what they're actually thinking. And we don't know. We can't read each other's minds. We don't know what people think. If somebody's doing a good job at something, Ethan played the guitar and led this morning. He did a great job. But if somebody's doing a good job, let's tell them. Let's not just think it. Let's not just have good intentions to encourage them, but let's actually encourage. What's one of the reasons that we come to church on Sunday morning? To encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What does it mean to exhort somebody? Maybe to encourage, or maybe to call out of somebody and say, hey, you're doing a great job. I want to maybe challenge you to continue doing what you're doing. Why do we meet here? That's one of the reasons that we meet here, is to encourage one another. Good job. You're doing a good job. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Because when somebody encourages you, what does it make you want to do? It makes you want to continue what you're doing. But if nobody encourages you, then you might just want to stop. And Paul, as he's traveling back through some of these cities, he's stopping, and it says he's encouraging these people with many words. Are we being encouragers? You know, we read different places in the Bible that God encourages us through his word. And so he's setting an example for us to follow in encouraging one another. I'm going to read three different places. Now, I realize that he's talking to different people here and maybe in these places, but I think that we can still take these today as an encouragement for each one of us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 through 8. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. A word of encouragement. This is Joshua being encouraged, but still the truth remains today. Be strong and of good courage. God is the one who goes with us, and he's not going to leave us or forsake us. Another one is Psalm 37. Verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. The Lord is upholding us. If we are following after him and we are trying to live according to what Scripture says and according to what Christ has taught, the Lord is going to hold us up. Encouragement straight from the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 40, you've heard these before, verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I know that as we go through life, there's a lot of times that it seems like we find ourselves in these situations where we get weary. And we get run down and we get tired and we're tired of working through things and we're tired of dealing with things and we're sometimes get just tired of life and the way things are going. But encouragement is here in the Scripture. It's here if we read it. But the other thing that I'm trying to, the other point that I want to make this morning is that we as God's people can also encourage one another. Whether it's just saying, great job, or whether it's saying, here, have you read this verse lately? I don't know if anybody's ever sent you a scripture verse during the week that they might have said, hey, I read this really encouraged me, I just wanted to pass it on to you. People have done that to me. I can't say that I've done that a lot, but I like that because we have encouragement straight from the Word of God. Can we take the example that God has set for us through His written Word, through His inspired Word, and pay it forward? Can we do that for our fellow believer? Will we do that? Will we make the effort or will we take the time to try to do that? Most times we have no idea what people are going through. And we come here this morning on a Sunday morning and we greet somebody at the door, and sometimes that's the only time you talk to them during the whole week. You have no idea what I've been going through. I have no idea what you've been going through. And this is where I really feel like we lean on the Holy Spirit to guide us. If there's a word of encouragement that needs to be shared, if there's something that needs to be prayed for, whatever it might be, if we're to exhort somebody, if we're to challenge somebody to keep going, Step into it. Let's go. Keep going. You're doing well. Can we do that? Will we make an effort to do that? And I think the only way we can do that is to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is leading, to where He is leading. Are we being sensitive to where the Spirit is leading in encouraging people? So as we go back to Acts 20, once again, Paul is... he's been here, it said he was here for 3 months. And then it says there were, not a big surprise, but there were Jews that were plotting against him, which seems to be very common. There were always people that didn't really agree or didn't want him to continue doing what he was doing or sharing what he was sharing. And so they would start to plot against him to try to get him out of their city. Well, Paul, it seems like, is maybe starting to get one step ahead of what's going on because he is now traveling. And ultimately, he's trying to get back to Jerusalem. But he continues to travel. And it mentions several people in here that were traveling with him. Maybe they were traveling partners. Maybe they kind of were going together and they were sharing together and they would take turns speaking. I don't know how it worked. But I know that one thing is these people that he was talking about here in Acts chapter 20. If you look into some of the other books that Paul wrote, these were some of the people that he sent back to share of things that were going on. Go back, he would tell all of these. There's different references that refer back to him. He would send them back to a place and said, go, share how things are going. Tell them how I'm doing. Go encourage them. And so these are people that are traveling with Paul right now. Then he set sail for Troas after, it says, specifically says, after the days of unleavened bread. Now, I look at that and I'm like, well, why does it make such a big deal about the days of unleavened bread? But then at the same time, I started thinking about, do we have a lot of different holidays that we celebrate. And what is a holiday? What does celebrating a holiday mean today? What does it mean? We have Memorial Day coming up. Does anybody know why we celebrate that? It's a day off of work. I mean, that's usually why people want to celebrate. They don't have to go to work. But these are the days of unleavened bread that they're talking about here. This is commemorating the Passover that happened in Egypt when the angel passed over the houses, and they were supposed to have their bread that was unleavened so they could pick it up and go at a moment's notice. This is what they're commemorating right here. This is what they're talking about, and it's still a big deal here. And so it got me to thinking, are we relaying to the next generation the reason for some of the things that we celebrate? We celebrate the 4th of July. Why do we celebrate the 4th of July? Well, it's the freedom of our country. Anybody should know that. Or maybe the answer is, well, we get the day off of work and we get to go watch fireworks. We get to go to a parade. Well, why do we celebrate, though? Are we passing that on? Why do we celebrate the things that we do? Why do we celebrate Easter? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate some of these different things? This here, when I read this, the days of unleavened bread, it just makes me a reminder to me that we need to be very proactive in sharing with the next generation, our children and grandchildren, why it is that we celebrate. Why do we do it? Why do we celebrate the days of unleavened bread? We don't really, but the days of unleavened bread, why would they do that? And to have it still be here is actually pretty impressive, because that means it got passed on over the generations. Of course, it's written in here too, and that helps. But what are we passing on? Are we sharing with our kids, with the next generation, the reason that we celebrate, or are we just celebrating? Is the 4th of July about going to fireworks and a parade, or is the 4th of July realizing what happened on that day? Is Christmas just putting up Christmas trees and getting gifts, or is Christmas reminding our kids of why we celebrate that, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is Easter just getting together to hunt Easter eggs, or is it celebrating the resurrection of Jesus? Let's not forget what it is that we're celebrating. So when we look at this, the days of unleavened bread, that's what came to my mind when I was reading through that. And let's be very proactive, and let's be very aware of sharing the reason why we do things. Whenever I have, we're getting ready to start hand thinning in the orchard in a couple of weeks, and I have a bunch of young people that are going to come and work for me. And, you know, you can explain something, and I don't always do the best at this, and you can explain what we're going to do. We're going to take these apples off, and we're going to throw them on the ground. And they can just go, and they can do it. Or I can explain that, and then I can explain why we are doing it that way. And sometimes not everybody works. Not everybody's mind works the same way. But sometimes if we can understand why we're doing something, it makes a lot more sense. Not just doing it because that's what I was told to do, but doing it because this is what needs to happen to make, for instance, our apple crop better. And so are we explaining the why? And not just the, because this is what I said to do. Make sure that we're explaining the why. So they waited here for the days of unleavened bread, and then they sailed to Troas. Now, it says the first day in verse 7, chapter 20, the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, he's getting ready to leave the next day. He spoke to them. So he started speaking, he started preaching, he started teaching, whatever he was doing, sharing what it is that he shared. And because he was leaving the next day, he kept going and going and going and going. Now, I don't know about you, but when you come to church on Sunday morning and you sit here for 30 minutes or 40 minutes and listen to somebody talk, and it's comfortable, it's not hot, it's not, well, depending on who you ask, it's not hot or not cold. Maybe it's kind of crowded. Maybe it's a little, it could get a little warm with people that are here. This is here, sitting where it's comfortable. And it's really easy to fall asleep. I told somebody even when Caleb was preaching last week, it had nothing to do with Caleb. But when I'm sitting out there, having stood up here and preached a lot, still hard to stay awake. And so Paul is preaching and he's going on and it says he preached until midnight. So this young man, and it said maybe the age range was somewhere between 8 and 14, is sitting in a windowsill. They're three stories up. They had lamps going because it was dark, so they needed to be able to see. They had lamps going. There was a lot of people there. It was probably warm in there, comfortable, and this kid fell asleep. He fell out three stories down. It said, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. He fell out the window. You're not going to die if you fall off the pew, because that's as far as you would fall here. And so the text that I got saying, this is a good reminder not to fall asleep in church. So Eutychus falls asleep and he falls out the window and he dies. Why? What would possibly be the purpose of this happening? To show the power of God. What's really interesting to me is Paul stopped preaching and he went down and he says he fell on him and embraced him. And then in a different translation it says, don't worry, he's alive. They all went back upstairs. And I probably think literally on a lot of this stuff, and I'm like, he's dead. And Paul goes down and lays on him and embraces him and gets up and says, don't worry, he's going to be fine. Let's all go back upstairs and finish what we're doing. Now, if you look at what he did, it refers back to what Elijah and Elisha had done when they raised somebody from the dead. And the other thing that I start thinking about is, hey, look, here's a pattern. Here's a pattern that if we just do this, maybe it will work. But you know what? It's not about how they did it. It's about who did it. It isn't anything that they did. They were following what the Spirit was telling them to do. Because ultimately, it was who brought this young man back to life. It was who brought these others with Elisha and Elijah back to life. It wasn't what they did. And I want to clarify, I want to be very clear on that, is that this is why if we see patterns like this, we need to be focused on who Jesus is. We need to be sensitive what the Spirit is saying, because as soon as we start to put a pattern to it, and when we think that we don't need Jesus to help, when in reality, it's the only way it's ever going to happen. But it is really interesting to me that he says, don't worry, he's alive. And they all go back upstairs and finish. And then Paul left before they even brought the young man back upstairs. But you know what? These people have been listening to Paul speak and they stayed there late. Obviously, they had some trust in what he was saying. They had some faith in what he was doing because they were there till after midnight listening to him preach, because they knew the next day he was going to be ready to leave and he was going to be gone and they weren't going to be listening to him anymore for a while. And so when Paul says, don't worry, he's alive, and everybody goes back upstairs, how could you do that? How could you be okay with that? How would you know for sure that... Because they've been listening to Paul, and I guess I feel like they would trust what Paul was saying, because they've been listening to him for all evening and previous to that as well. Don't worry, he's alive. Do we believe the things that God says to us? I was reading some of the encouragement that he has for us in the Word. Do we believe the words that God says to us? Don't worry, he's alive. Do we believe it? Are we close enough to Jesus that we can hear his voice when he talks? Are we spending enough time with Jesus that we recognize what it is when he asks us to do something? See, because these people have been sitting here listening to Paul, and I really feel like they knew and were, they had faith in what he was saying, that that was true. Don't worry, he's alive. Oh, okay, Paul said he's alive. Let's all go back upstairs. Do we have that much faith in what Jesus says? It's not how they did it. It's who did it. Don't forget that. Back to Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? God has told us that he won't leave us or forsake us. Even if somebody falls out of a window and dies, he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. Do we believe what he says? When he asks us to do something, do we believe it? Today actually is Pentecost. This is where Paul is trying to get back to Jerusalem in time for Pentecost. Who is the Holy Spirit in your life? What role does he play in your life? I'm hoping it's a big one, because it's so, so important that we have him working inside, because when Jesus said, if I don't go, it's important that I go, because then I can send the Comforter to you. And so what could be better than having Jesus physically walking here with us? Jesus' Spirit here living with us, guiding us, leading us. The question is, are we listening to what he's saying? So Paul continues his journey. He keeps going different. He goes a number of different places here over the next few verses. And it says that he sailed past Ephesus. Maybe because he just didn't want to get stuck there again. Maybe he was afraid he would spend too much time there because he again was trying to get to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. What are the points from this morning? Are we being encouraging? Are we being encouraged? Do you go out of your way? Do you make a point to be encouraging to somebody? And I want to challenge you, go out of your way. Because if somebody were going to do it for you, you would like that. That would be a huge blessing for you. Are you willing to do it for somebody else? The second is, are we willing to be used the way that God is working through Paul in all these different places, even in face of many different things that people were wanting to do to him, kicking him out of cities, stoning him? Are we willing to be used by God? Are we willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying? Are we willing to do what we are asked to do? And the last one, do we believe what God says? If God says that he will never leave us or forsake us, if he says that he will always take care of us, do we truly believe that? Do we live that way? Do we live with that knowledge that allows people to see hope in us? I'm going to have the worship team come back up, and we're going to sing one of the songs again as we close. If you want to stand with us, Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply these things to our lives. Lord, help us to be encouraging to one another. Lord, help us to take the words that you say, the encouragement that you give us, and help us to live with hope that people can see and that people want to know more about, and they will ask what the hope is that we have. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would guide our week. Bless it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Before we sing this song, let's just think about these lyrics. I'm going to read them out loud. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 holy.
See you. I want to see you.